قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد Children exist in the moment. A child isn't preoccupied with the past, asking questions about how or why we exist. A child doesn't obsess over the future, expressing deep concerns about what happens after death, these type of issues. Children simply have impulses. They have desires. They have curiosities. They see something, they chase after it. They want to play with this, they run after that. And they chase whatever they want to relentlessly, with no concept of purpose. They're not wondering, what is the point of my life? What should I be doing right now? They remain undaunted by their own incalculable potential. They don't contemplate the outcome of what would have happened had they chosen a different path, this type of theoretical thinking. They're not plagued by the question of, what if? What if instead yesterday I did that instead of that? What if such and such happened instead? What if I chose a different path? They're not thinking about these things. They just keep on moving. That's how children think. However, at around the age of puberty, children become adults. The veil is lifted from their eyes, and they can see the grand scope of their existence. The child becomes keenly aware of the past that existed before he was born, and the future that will continue after this child dies. And the child realizes that each action he takes has an impact not only on him, but the people around him. Had he chosen a different path, the outcome would have been different. He would have been a different person. And in fact, the world would be a different place. The world would be a different place had he chosen a different set of actions, having a different impact. This becomes a huge responsibility on this child's shoulders. Now they're becoming an adult and realizing, wow, I have so much potential. And some children will see this as empowering. Wow, I have so much potential, I can change the world. Others may become terrified at their own potential. Every action I take has so much consequences on me and everybody else. It becomes daunting, it becomes scary. Either way, this entire process that I've described is called what? Growing up. Nothing that I've said thus far is really questionable, confusing. In fact, it's extremely obvious, and I hope you agree. Everything I've said thus far is extremely obvious to Muslims and non-Muslims alike. And yet, I have had countless conversations where I'm trying to get to know somebody on a very basic level, and I ask the simple question, what do you believe? What do you believe about life? And the person becomes shocked. What? What do you mean? I'm like, no problem. Let me explain what I mean. I'm going to break it down in three parts, past, present, and future. Where do you think we came from? What do you think we're doing here in this life? Like our purpose, like is there one, is there not one? What's the point of all this? And in terms of the future, where do we go? After death, is there an afterlife? Is there no such thing? What do you think about these three basic things? In my mind, I'm thinking, these three basic things that you are supposed to have been thinking about since middle school. Really, there's no reason that these questions shouldn't have been plaguing your mind. You should have been constantly contemplating these things, day after day. That's called growing up. And now I'm speaking to you as an adult, 5, 10, 15, 20 years later. And I'm asking, you know, what are your thoughts? Just any thoughts at all, really. And I'm consistently amazed that most people become dumbstruck. They become completely shocked. They sit there with the mouth wide open, and they have no idea. These are intelligent people. These are people who function in society. These are people who know how to succeed in school. They know how to get the right grades. And they know how to work. at their job. They know how to function. They know how to make money. They know how to research every product. If they're going to get a new phone, a new laptop, if they're going to get a new car, a new house, a new microwave, it could be something significant or insignificant. They do the research to figure out what's the best choice every single time. So they're capable of having complex discussions about sports, about politics, about whatever. And yet, subhanAllah, something so obvious right in your face that you're supposed to think about the moment you hit puberty, about like, hey, wait a second, where did we come from? And what are we doing in this life? And where are we going? These are basic questions that we're supposed to answer. You figure this stuff out at what, 13, 14, 15 years old and start asking these questions? This, they become baffled. And they become shocked and they become embarrassed. Brothers and sisters, my message today is very simple. This is not normal. This is not normal. Don't ever allow yourself to think or to feel that that is normal. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فأقم وجهك للدين حنيفة فطرة الله التي فطر الناس عليها. So direct your face, direct yourself towards the deen of Allah that is inclining towards truth. It is hanif. It is something you naturally incline towards. It is something you're supposed to based on what? Fitrat Allah. The fitra that Allah has made for you. Fatara an-nas 'alayha, that Allah Ta'ala has developed and created, originated the human being upon. This is how Allah Ta'ala made us. This is how we are supposed to think. Yes, as children you can run around just jumping from one fun thing to the next. But as an adult, that is so embarrassing. How have you not grown up? How are you not able to have an adult conversation? Why are you still talking about frivolous things? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirms that the normal human being, the normal fitrah that we are developed upon, we are supposed to have, should naturally direct you towards what? Towards Allah Ta'ala's deen, towards these bigger questions. Who is my creator? Where did we come from? What is our purpose? Where are we going? That is normal. And if that's not clear enough, subhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ said something so beautiful. Authentic hadith, Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ tells us, and I'm sure we're all very familiar with this hadith, كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. Every child is born upon the fitrah, the natural inclination, the natural desire to seek out the oneness of God and Islam. فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهِ وَيُنَصِّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ. That it's the parents, and you could even say by extension the environment, that pushes them and teaches them and molds them to becoming Jewish, Christian, or Magian, pagan, whatever the case may be. But then the Prophet says something very, very fascinating that I think most of us ignore. Or I don't want to say ignore, I should say most of us don't really contemplate. Even myself, I looked at this hadith a second time and I thought, this is really an amazing description. The Prophet continues and says, كَمَثَلِ الْبَهِيمَةِ تُنْتَجُ الْبَهِيمَةَ هَلْ تَرَى فِيهَا جَدَعَاءَ. The Prophet says, this is just as an animal who delivers a perfect baby animal. Do you find it mutilated? That word, mutilated, I thought that was so remarkable. Obviously, we know that when the mother delivers a baby, whether it's a goat, sheep, whatever the case is, it doesn't have any slits in the ear like the Arabs used to sometimes try to beautify the animal by cutting it in certain ways and mutilating it, changing their bodies. Nowadays, people don't do that to animals. That would be animal cruelty. They just do that to themselves and to their children. SubhanAllah, somehow that's okay. Mutilating yourself and so forth. But animals, no way. But back then, it was a little different. They wouldn't chop themselves up, they would only chop up the animals, which was also bad. But anyhow, the point being is what? That when the baby is born, this baby animal has no slits in the ears, no cuts on it, it is perfectly healthy. And this is the description that the Prophet is giving to what? To the way the fitrah is corrupted. So the first portion of the hadith that we're familiar with is saying what? The fitrah is Islam, belief in one God. There's right, there's wrong, judgment day. This is fitrah. This is not something very complex or confusing. This is something that people naturally incline towards just by living. And it gets corrupted with an environment that pushes a child towards falsehood. We understand this basic premise. However, look at the wording that the Prophet ﷺ used, the specific wording. If you're not upon the fitrah, then you've experienced some kind of trauma. You've been mutilated. You've been scarred. And the scarring is so profound that your mental health, has been entirely compromised. The next time you have a conversation with anybody, please don't be frivolous. Oh, I'm getting to know someone. Oh yeah, really? What do you think? Does pineapple go on pizza? Oh my God, yeah. Look, this is not an adult conversation. My favorite color. And oh, do you like vanilla or chocolate for ice cream? We as Muslims are supposed to stand out. We are never supposed to get so acclimated to this environment that we lose sight of reality. No, I want to get to know you, even on the most basic way. I got to ask you, what do you believe about life? What do you mean? Well, you know, where do we come from? You know, we didn't exist forever, right? We must have come from somewhere. What do you think about that? And what are we supposed to do here? I mean, we have lots of options, and those options will have different results and outcomes. What do you think we should be doing? One thing, A versus B, C versus D, is there any? You have any thoughts? What happens after we die? We're not gonna live forever, right? Obviously, like, I don't want you to speak in such a way that is condescending. Obviously, you don't wanna belittle and make the person feel embarrassed, but you want to help them. The job of the Muslim is to address the elephant in the room in the nicest way possible. You need to let them know, this isn't normal. When you become baffled by certain basic premise questions, you haven't grown up. You're still a child. You're still a kid excited, running around. Oh, I think this is fun. Oh, I think that is fun. Yeah, but you're not a kid anymore. How are you in your 20s and 30s and 40s? And when I ask you a basic question, you look like a four-year-old being asked about, you know, why do we exist? Yeah, I don't expect my kids. Actually, some of my kids I do. Some of my kids are old enough to answer these questions. I don't expect my really young kids to answer these questions. But subhanAllah, how many times people come to this masjid? How many times I have conversations with non-Muslims? How many times do you have conversations? And these people think that it's normal, that they're baffled by basic questions. Brothers and sisters, you have a, just forget about a job, forget about da'wah, forget about the ambition to spread Islam. Just be a decent human being and say, look, I think you have a problem. There must have been some sort of scarring. There must have been some sort of trauma. Your development seems to be stunted. Something has stopped the process of you developing into a real adult. Your mind is supposed to think these questions. I'm not trying to alarm you and I'm not trying to talk down to you, but you must ask, where do we come from? What's the point of life? What happens after death? Come on, man, you could try a little harder. I'm not even telling you what to think, but the fact that you're not even thinking, I am concerned for you. This has to be something that Muslims develop. This is who we are. We have to stand out. Even if the rest of the world, in this part of the world, even if they find it odd, even if they find it awkward, you have to care. I recently spoke to a brother, somebody in our community, mashallah, good guy, of course, who said, you know, I'm getting to know somebody, talking to them regularly, just trying to find out who they are. I said, that sounds nice. Have you asked them about these basic beliefs? And he said, no, not yet. And I said, look, man, then you haven't even begun the process. And the fact that you don't see that kind of made me a little sad. But mashallah, I know he's a good person. But still, it made me a little sad that you think you've begun the process of getting to know this person, but you didn't start with the foundation. You didn't ask the basic questions. Are we acclimating to them, or should they acclimate to us? Are we the leaders, or are we the followers? SubhanAllah, ulama say, if you do not have this leadership position in a non-Muslim environment, then get out, go back to Muslim lands. Only, one of the only justifications to be in this non-Muslim environment is if you are having an impact on them as opposed to vice versa. If you can't even start a basic conversation getting to know someone, say, okay, what do you believe? If that is not on your radar, then I'm sorry. They have impacted you more than you have impacted them. Do not be a victim of this Dajjalic environment. Let me say that again. Do not be a victim of this Dajjal-infested environment that we are working towards that is getting worse. What do I mean by that? I'll mention it in the second khutbah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam sami kthira. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. We know that the Prophet ﷺ described the end times, the worst times. And Allah only knows when these times are coming, but sometimes it feels like we're getting closer and closer. SubhanAllah, what's happening in the Middle East? More attacks, more fighting, more war. it really does feel like we're getting to a point where the world is going to be divided, all the battle lines will be drawn, and things are going to get really ugly. And Allah only knows what's going to happen in the future. I'm not trying to speak doom and gloom. I'm not trying to scare anybody. But anybody paying attention to the news, I think, can see if things take a really bad turn, they've already taken a bad turn, but if they get even worse, there's not much of a surprise. And so I don't know. Only Allah knows how fast approaching this whole Dajjal system is coming. But we know that the Prophet ﷺ described Dajjal by saying what? أَلَا إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ لَيْسَ بِأَعْوَرْ أَلَا إِنَّهُ أَعْوَرْ. Indeed, your Lord is not blind in one eye. And the Dajjal, he is blind in one eye. Now, of course, there's the literal meaning that there will be a man who will be the leader, he will claim divinity, and he will literally have one eye busted. One eye that he can only see from. Patch or whatever the case is. And other descriptions as well. However, there is something deeper that I think, wallahu a'lam, I think is very much worthy of our attention. What happens when you have one eye? We know that a person's depth perception is less accurate. You can't see, you can still see, you still have vision. But with regards to depth, it becomes compromised. Not completely, but to a large degree. You can't determine what is close and what is far as well. So what's the lesson that we might be able to learn from this description? Allah Ta'ala knows best, but it seems that as we fast approach these Dajjalic times, people still understand that in life there are big questions that need to be answered. People still understand that reality. They still see the big questions of life. But the depth perception is completely wrong. What do I mean by this? People are still asked the question, what do I think about God? What do I think about my purpose? What do I think about the afterlife? But it's not at the forefront. The depth perception is completely wrong. It's way at the back. They're not paying attention. They're not taking it serious. However, there are other questions. What movie am I going to watch? What should I buy? Oh man, I'm just going on Amazon and should I get this dress or that dress? Do I want these shoes or those shoes? What restaurant should we go to? How should we have fun today? Like a child. And that seems to be right at the forefront. As opposed to, hey, you're an adult now. Yeah, we can have fun and everything, but like, what about the big questions? No depth perception. No concept of what is close and what is far. No concept of what is a priority and what can be delayed. So they can still see. It's not like when you ask these questions, they're like, I don't understand the question. No, you understand, but you just haven't prioritized. There's no depth perception. Subhanallah, wallahu alam. But it seems to be that this is very much reminiscent. This is very much connected to what? The fact that you can only see with one eye. You have no depth perception. The wording of the Prophet ﷺ is perfect when he asked, is a baby born mutilated? Do you think it's natural that the baby comes out and somebody has cut one eye? They can only see with one eye? No. The healthy, saleem, natural birth of a child is what? That they have depth perception. That they understand by the time they go through puberty that, yes, I've been running around having fun, but now I have to figure out, wait, where did I come from? And what am I doing here? Am I just playing all the time? And what happens as I get older? I mean, where are we going? What's happening in life? These are big questions. And it's natural. The fitrah is that you see with these two eyes and you see with depth. And every single time you have a conversation with someone and they don't know the answers, I don't want you to be like, oh, that's cute. Oh, that's fun. That's okay. Let's just talk about something else. What's your favorite movie? Your favorite type of music? No. You should be like, oh, you're scarred. You're traumatized. There's mutilation here. The mind is not thinking correctly. If you, my dear Muslim, see the problem, don't tell me you're gonna get to know somebody and you haven't asked them the basics. Don't be part of the problem. Even if you're uninterested in da'wah and converting somebody, which you should be, but still, you should at least care enough that they have matured into adults and yet they have not hit maturity. You have to walk them through this. You have to help them in the nicest way possible. Wasn't there a time we didn't exist? Don't we have to make decisions and these decisions have different impacts? Don't you know that we aren't going to exist forever? I mean, what happens later? It's even worse when people get defensive, when people get uncomfortable, when they want to change the topic, when they try to escape the conversation. The scarring is deep. The trauma is bad. And you, as a doctor, should want to help them. Not just ignore it and keep going along and become just like one of them with a scar as well. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna Allah jamil wa yuhibbul jamal." Allah is beautiful. Allah is beauty and He loves beauty. "Wa yuhibbu ma'ali al-umur." And Allah Ta'ala loves the loftiest of affairs. Allah Ta'ala likes things, loftiest affairs. Not low brow humor, backbiting, talking about gossip, nonsense, chit-chat, wasting time. Think big thoughts. Ask big questions. Have serious conversations. This is the type of thing that Allah Ta'ala loves in the believer. So when you're getting to know somebody, remember this hadith. Allah yuhib ma'ali al-umur. Allah Ta'ala loves the loftiest of affairs. Talk to them about big issues, big thoughts, the big questions. Show them that you have depth, that you're a real human being, that you have real conversations and you're not sitting around. Oh yeah, did you see the game last night? Oh, he ran really good. Look man, yeah, we get it. Okay, it's great. I'm not saying you can't have a chit-chat conversation, but really, how many? How many stats can you memorize? It's embarrassing after a while. You know every little detail about, oh, this guy, his ankle's injured and this and that, and I think his doctor said he should be back in 6 months. Why do you know this stuff? You're a grown-up. Does he know about you? Does him and his injury, does he know about what's going on in your life and how you're doing, how your ankle's feeling? No! وَيَكْرَهُ سَفْسَفَهَا. The Prophet says, and Allah Ta'ala dislikes what? Pettiness. Allah hates pettiness. Let's not be people that are petty. We cannot be examples of balance if our priorities are completely off. Our goal is to bring people towards higher thinking. But if we do not have that ourselves, then it's very difficult to be exemplary in that regard. We must live in this world, but we shouldn't obsess over it. Beautiful hadith letting us know what are the basics that we need. The Prophet tells us, أَرْبَعٌ مِنَ السَّعَادَةِ. There are four things that give you happiness in this dunya. Four things that should cover your happiness. After that, you shouldn't be running around on materialism so much. Why? Because you have those four things. What are they? Al-mar'atu salihatu, a righteous wife. If you have a good wife, a good companion, a good spouse, then alhamdulillah, that's a lot these days. That is a lot, alhamdulillah. That is so much. If you have a sister who can raise your kids properly and not try to tear you down, inshallah ta'ala, this is so the biggest blessing that you can have in this dunya, subhanAllah. Number two is what? Al-maskanu al-wasi'a. A spacious home. In other words, you're not so cramped that you and the kids are all bumping into each other or sleeping on top of each other. As long as you have a home where everybody can sleep comfortably and live comfortably, alhamdulillah, this is a blessing. Wal-jaru salih. And a good neighbor, righteous neighbor. If you have an environment, if your neighbors treat you good, they're not harassing you. If you can come to this masjid and you have so many neighbors, all of us, alhamdulillah, we can consider ourselves neighbors, a good environment to raise your kids in. Huge blessing. And finally, what? Wal-markabu al-hani'. And a good ride. At that time, it was horses and so forth. Nowadays, alhamdulillah, as long as you don't have a car that breaks down every few minutes, you can move around comfortably. You can actually rely upon your vehicle. Alhamdulillah, that's all you need. Four things. I have my wife, gives me a source of peace. I got my kids and we're not so cramped that we're in a crushed home. I got neighbors, good environment, good people around me, alhamdulillah, they're not harassing me and crime and, I don't know, drugs and all sorts of stuff in the neighborhood. And I got a ride, it takes me where I gotta go. Alhamdulillah, that's it. Why are we obsessed with materialism after that point? There's no need. Yes, of course, work hard and mashallah, may Allah bless you with whatever you have. I'm not against these things, but at the same time, how sad is it that it's taking you away from something higher, something greater, becoming a better Muslim, improving your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our job is to be exemplary to non-Muslims in this country. For them to come back to the fitrah and embrace Islam, they'll have to subject themselves to many different sacrifices. Are we exemplifying sacrifice so that we are showing them the way? How can we expect from them what we are not expecting from themselves, from ourselves? If everybody can take a step forward or sit a little bit closer, inshallah, so we can make some room. Jazakallah khair. If we can just take a second. Inshallah ta'ala, I'll close quickly. A few final points. When the non-Muslim embraces Islam, sometimes they have to give up their haram job. Sometimes they have to give up their haram romantic relationships. Sometimes they have to get rid of bad friends and bad environments. Sometimes they even lose family members in the process. Sometimes they feel alienated from society. There are a lot of sacrifices that we are hoping that they go through. And they have to learn a whole new deen, this deen of Islam. There's a lot that they have to do. How can we be an example worthy of convincing them when we're not showing them what sacrifice looks like? Are we getting rid of our haram jobs? Are we getting rid of our haram relationships, bad friends? Are we showing them the way? Are we exemplifying a little bit of sacrifice? If not, then we're not doing our job. My final point is simply this. To all the youth, you're starting a new academic year really soon, inshallah ta'ala. So I want you guys to ask yourself, what are your priorities? Don't be subjected to this Dajjalic system where you have no concept of depth. Don't be somebody who focuses on pettiness. Rather, remember that Allah ta'ala loves what? Ma'ali al-umur. Allah ta'ala loves lofty affairs. Think big. Have big aspirations. Talk and deal with big concepts, big ideas, having mature discussions, and develop a serious schedule. This can only happen if you have high self-esteem. Treat yourself like you're actually worth something. Do not look down on yourself. If Allah Ta'ala commanded the angels to bow down to humanity, and you are part of humanity, then you must have some potential. If Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ, that we have honored the children of Adam, and you are a child of Adam alayhi salam, then you should feel honored. So treat yourself as a person of honor. And in addition to just being a human being, alhamdulillah, you're Muslim. You've submitted to Allah Ta'ala. You are upon the fitrah. You do not have this jada'a, this scarring, this mutilation. Alhamdulillah, you're seeing with two eyes clearly. Light is getting in, and alhamdulillah, you can practice your deen. And in addition to that, alhamdulillah, you have been invited to the masjid. This is the house of Allah Ta'ala. And if you've been invited, that's very noble. As Allah Ta'ala says, فِي بُيُوتٍ أَذِنَ اللَّهُ أَن تُرْفَعَ وَيُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ فِيهَا بِالْغُدُوِ وَالْأَصَالِ. These masajid, they are these niches, they're the masajid of Allah, which Allah has ordered to be raised, and that His name be mentioned therein, exalting Him within them in the morning and in the evening. This is a blessed place. If you've been invited here, if you are a Muslim, if you're even a human being, have dignity, self-worth, self-respect, and don't waste your time with nonsense. Start the academic year with high priorities, aiming lofty, inshallah ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, final point is that we have a new youth director, alhamdulillah, Brother Umair. He just came and joined our community, alhamdulillah. So for the youth, we have a new youth director, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. He's going to be very involved, and we're going to do lots of great projects together. We're going to have more people to, inshallah ta'ala, plan and execute more activities. So hopefully this year will be a blessed year, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala make us of those who see with priorities. May Allah Ta'ala make us see with two eyes. May Allah Ta'ala make us of those who, when we get to know people, we ask them real questions and have real conversations. May Allah Ta'ala make us people who are not frivolous and petty, but rather may Allah Ta'ala make us people who ask real questions so that people can mature and really see the broad picture in life. May Allah Ta'ala help us to help others to reverse their stunted growth and grow up into real, mature adults who actually think about past and present and future. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Allahumma hadina fi man hadayt, wa afina fi man afayt, wa tawallana fi man tawallayt, wa barik lana fi ma a'tayt, wa qina sharra ma qadayt. Fa innaka taqdi wa la yuqda alayk, innahu la yadhillu man walayt, wa la ya'izzu man adayt. Barakta rabbana wa ta'alayt, rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana, wa qina adhaban nar, wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima kathira, wa aqim as-salah.